Welcome to another broadcast of Health Relationships 102 with your host, myself, Pastor Lewis Green. It's good to be with you today, and I pray that each of you doing well, that this message finds each of you blessed after God's promises to your lives individually. Before we jump into the message, like us on our Facebook page at Help Relationships 102, remembering that there's no exclamation point at the other end of help as it is here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, as many of you, if you've lived long enough, have come to discover that much of our issues are directly related to how we feel about ourselves. It is directly related to how we see ourselves. And so this most important among issues is really important that we flesh it out. Or the good news is that there is a means of building and in many cases, or most cases, rebuilding one's own sense of self-esteem. Now, some of you may not get that or understand what I mean by that. In past broadcasts, I have made reference to what it means to identify after the flesh. And some of you may be at a loss as to what I meant when I made reference to that. And I want to touch upon that briefly. The Bible says that it is by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. And we have been talking about a dynamic approach to allowing the Lord to rebuild your sense of self-esteem, and it's by faith. Now, we're not talking something ideologically speaking. We're not talking about rebuilding your sense of self-esteem ideologically. We're talking about building, and in most cases rebuilding, your sense of self-esteem actually and in reality, so that you actually feel different about yourself. The thing is that when you first start off believing something that's not rooted in the flesh, but rooted spiritually, when you first start believing, you don't feel it. The feelings don't come until after that you've begun to make up your mind to believe what you have proclaimed, as in the case of the Shulamite woman who says that I may be black, but I'm comely. I may be dark-skinned, but I'm hot. She made up her mind that was the case. And as you make up your mind, remember, it's we walk by faith and not by sight. What God is doing is rooted in the realm of the Spirit. And so we're not making a judgment after the flesh. As you make up your mind that God made you enough, this goes back to what you believe about God. This goes back to who you see the Lord to be and to trust who He made you. I'm reminded of this brother named Nick Vujicic, and the brother doesn't have any arms or any legs. And I remember a few years back, he had started making the circuit in high schools and different places and speaking engagements he had because he became something of a speaker. He would say, no arms and legs, no worry, I think was sort of his motto. But he was announcing in some of the engagements that he was looking for a wife. He has no arms and no legs. And I thought within my heart a few years ago, I said, based on what the Lord has shown me about the power of building and rebuilding one's self-confidence and building one's sense of identity and building one's sense of esteem, I said, I wouldn't be surprised if he, in fact, did win a wife. And the fact is, he has married a beautiful woman, a woman that that is arguably more beautiful than the wives of some of those of us who have arms and legs. And he just gave birth to a baby. And so there's an actual power that takes place in our lives, in God's grace. There's a reality that takes place. And as you begin to make up your mind in the Spirit, by faith, as to who you are, you decide to look at your glass as half full and not half empty. At first, you're proclaiming words to yourself. I might be short, or I might be dark-skinned, or I might be bald, or I might not be educated, or I might, whatever the case is, but I've still got it going on. God has still blessed me. As you begin to make up your mind through praising him with whom he's given you, as we've discussed in prior broadcasts. As you begin to make up your mind by faith, at first you won't feel it, but you begin to believe it, because your sense of self-esteem, your sense of self-confidence, your identity is all rooted in what you believe. And you have the power to determine what you believe. You may not always be able to determine what you do or don't do, but you can determine what you believe. If you go back and listen to that message on denial, you can live in denial. You can believe and accept what you want to believe and want to accept. And what God is saying is that if you make up your mind that you believe that God made you enough, and this goes back to your trusting him that he made you enough, at first, you won't feel that, but after you begin to proclaim it and make up your mind that it's the case, in a very short period of time, you will feel fine. Those feelings of low self-esteem, those feelings of low self-worth, those feelings of inadequacy will all be broken in your life by God's grace. And once you begin to see that you may not fit in other people's category, that in fact, there's a category all your own, you will learn what Nick and so many others have. That God made you and gave you enough. And you have to trust that God is a good God, that he loves you, that he wouldn't make junk. He wouldn't make anyone that had less than. The Bible says that where there's weakness, where there's something less attractive and less comely, God gives more grace. The Bible said he gives more grace. In fact, it is said that his grace is made perfect in your weakness. And so a great part of our sense of self-worth is trying to figure out where we fit. Trying to figure out where we belong, trying to figure out who we are, and we ascribe our esteem based on trying to fit in often places that we're not made to fit. It reminds me of a person I know in my youth who wanted badly to play basketball and got cut continuously until he decided to play football, where he became a football star. And it was amazing, all of those years of trying to fit in to the basketball arena, well, he didn't fit there. That's not where he belonged. He belonged in another arena altogether. And most often that's the case. We will judge ourselves based on the arenas that we're trying to fit in. We're trying to figure out where we fit. And we begin to try to fit in places that we don't. Or how about the nerd in high school that tries to play football when he needed to concentrate on his studies because he was going to be a wealthy tech person, okay? And so each of us fits someplace. And if you're struggling in fitting somewhere, the first thing to look at is to see where you're trying to fit. And so let's look back at Nick. Nick, it doesn't look like he would fit anywhere, but as time has revealed, he did fit somewhere. He has a beautiful life, a beautiful wife, and he's doing well. You see, your key may not fit into that apartment you want to get into, but maybe there's a castle that it fits perfectly into. And God wants you to understand this, that many of you measure yourself based on where you don't fit. What's important to do is to begin to look at the gifts that you have, and it'll give you a clue as to where you fit, and then your self-esteem will line up accordingly. And so if you don't struggle, and see, some of you feel like that you're not enough, but you have to trust God now. This is where you have to put your faith in God, that he, in fact, made you enough, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God gave you the gift mixture, that God gave you the talent mixture, that God gave you enough. And if you're failing again and again and again, it may be an indication that you're trying to fit where you don't belong. A square peg doesn't belong in a round one, okay? And neither does a triangle fit in the hole of a square peg. Take a true assessment of yourself and begin to pursue that which you are gifted in. Your gifts will give you a clue as to who you are and where you belong and where you fit. And also know that where you lack, because in some arenas, like Nick's arena, for example, it wouldn't seem like he would fit in a relationship, much less married to a beautiful woman with a beautiful child. But God says his grace is made perfect in your weakness. If you look at yourself after the flesh, to identify after the flesh, then you'll miss the limitless realm of the Spirit. Because of God's grace is made perfect. See, God's grace makes up the difference for where you are weak. That's why the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. And we're going to talk about how to find that grace. Let me tell you this now. When I talk about identifying after the flesh, I am saying simply taking a measure of yourself as you see yourself and making your own assessment as to what that measurement is. No, God loves you. He didn't make you inadequate. God didn't make you someone who didn't have the tools to have a full life in Him. God made you perfect. You are perfectly you. But as long as you are measuring yourself by someone else's standard and by someone else's success, and yes, by someone else's failures, then you will rob yourself of the opportunity of being able to find yourself. You will rob yourself of the opportunity to see who God made you to do. You have to take it by faith that God loves you, that God didn't make you inadequate, that where there is weakness, God's grace is made perfect there. That's right. God is going to make up the difference in His grace if you don't allow yourself to obsess over what you don't have, if you don't allow yourself to be preoccupied over what gifts you haven't been given, you're not going to be able to see the grace and the gift that is uniquely yours. You are a special somebody. God made you enough. And when you see your weaknesses, if you remain focused and preoccupied there, you're going to miss the gift. You're going to miss the grace, the equalizing factor of God's grace. And you're never going to come to find who you were made to be. You know, they said Einstein couldn't tie his shoes. Didn't they say that? They said Einstein was actually in school. He didn't do well. But God knew what He put in that boy. He began to find Himself. The only way that you can do that is to go through the process of being rejected where you don't fit. Isn't that so? The basketball player that struggled to fit in basketball. For a season, he saw that he didn't fit in the basketball arena. Instead of taking it as rejection and just sitting at the door of the basketball arena, mad because you failed, mad at yourself, hating yourself, rejecting yourself because you're not tall enough to be the basketball person. But how many knows he was quick enough to be a football star? So God says, don't judge yourself by the closed doors. I always say that it's because the little white mouse in the maze learns to respect the closed doors that he finds the cheese. Isn't that so? If he banged his head up against closed doors instead of submitting to the closed doors and searching for the open ones, he would never find the cheese. Let's take a page out of the book of the little white mouse that we can find our prospective cheese. Stop banging your head on the door of what you don't have and humble yourself before the Lord and trust you that He loves you and that He's given you more than you could ask or think and begin to go and search of the cheese, and you begin to get indication as to where the open doors are, where you are gifted, and where you are talented. Stop hanging out in the place of the closed door. Stop hanging out at the place of where you don't have, or the place where you're not gifted, and making assessments and judgments of yourself accordingly. You may not fit in any category that you see. And that might be because you're supposed to create a whole category all your own. And the weakness there is evidence of that. God's grace is made perfect in your weakness. So you can't look at yourself after the flesh. You can't make an assessment of yourself based on what you have or what you don't have. Or you're going to miss what God has for you. And you'll endanger yourself of never finding who you truly are, who God meant for you to be. Because God's got a plan for your life. You are worthwhile. There's something you have to offer. There's something you have to bring to the table. And some of you that have judged yourself as wanting and as lacking, you've seen some of those gifts within you. But you're so obsessive of trying to find someone else's category, of trying to fit in someone else's place, that you miss the place that God has for you. And know that He does. Because God loves you. He created you perfectly. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's not just physiologically. That's not just physically. That's not just naturally. But that's also in your temperament. That's also in your talent. That's also in your gift mixture. It's also in the adornment of all God has given you. And so, child of God, God would encourage you to look away from what you don't have. Stop beating your head against doors that are closed and respect the closed door. After you've tried for a season and that door's not open to you, you're still supposed to be given the end zone. You're still supposed to be given success and good success. You're still supposed to be given your share in this life. But it may not be through that particular door. There's another opening. And that opening is another talent, another gift in your life. Come on now, somebody. And so that's why God says, when you come to the door and you're pushing against it, you see other people going through the door. That doesn't mean that you're not denied your place. Your place might be a different place, or your place of getting there could be different. That's why we praise Him in our weaknesses. We don't spend time and judge ourselves after the flesh by making a natural assessment of what we don't have and the tools we haven't been given. But we begin to praise Him and thank Him and put our faith in Him that He loves us, that He has something for us, that He didn't make us less than. You are perfectly made, child of God, in every aspect, from your temperament, from your intellectual capacity, from your emotional intelligence, from your character, and from even your gift mixture. See, who you are can't be measured on just one arena. You have to take a full measure of what God has given you. But some of you say, well, I'm trying to fit on this basketball team, and these gifts, I've been trying to make them happen, and they're not happening. Guess what? They may fit in a whole other place. They may fit in the technology club. And some of you say, well, that's not going to do anything. I want to fit over here. Stop trying to make a plan for your own life. You created for a reason and to fulfill a purpose. You go over and you focus on your technology. You go over and you focus on your art. You go over and you focus on your music. God will produce more there than you could ever find in the basketball place you're trying to fit in the cheerleading place you're trying to fit in. Some of you are trying to fit in the technology world when you're artistic. But I can't make a living or be successful artistically. Are you kidding me? Come on now. The things you can do in music, the thing that you can do in art. And so I wish that some parents would begin to approach their kids now and to begin to help identify who they are and to begin to fortify that now. If they show a music inclination, then you make that kid take music classes. He may not want to. He may want to go out there and play football. And if he's gifted there, fine. But if he's not, and you see that he's not, it's our responsibility as parents to aim that kid in the right direction so that he can best find his course in life. I know kids that they hated that we'd be outside playing and have to come in and take their piano lessons. But guess what? Now they're able to live life because the parent was able to identify where the kid's giftings lie and began to develop it when they're young. This is what it means to raise kids, because the kids don't know. Let's not leave their lives to happenstance. Let's aim them in the right direction and begin to fortify and develop those gifts that they show now in their youth. But you who are old, you don't have to wait. I know folks that were trying to fit in a realm of art and they're salespeople. And you know, you go, you get in a sales position, whether selling cars or selling houses or sales positions, you can make a big living being a salesperson. But I know some folks that are artistic trying to fit in the salesman industry, and they can't do it. It's unsuccessful, and they fail. They're so busy trying to be what they're not because they think it's all that there is. But there's so much more. And so some of you may be starting late. But guess what? You're not too late. Take measure of yourself after the spirit, not after the flesh. Look at yourself, but not in so narrow vision. Broaden your view. Broaden the scope of your view. And look at yourself. Take a fair assessment as to what God has given you. And begin to make a plan in that direction and in that light and after that way. And you'll afford yourself the best possibility to, first off, destroy your sense of low self-esteem. Low self-esteem is one of the aspects is when you try to fit where you don't belong. Or maybe you fit someplace when you were younger that you don't fit where you were older. Sometimes life is seasonal. For some of you, live long enough. In one season, you fit here, but another season, you fit there. All those are where your talents are, but where are you producing? Where is God's grace flowing in your life? And so many of you, your sense of self-worth and self-esteem is tied into misfitting and where you fit. and you're being a misfit, and you're hammering your head up against the wrong door continuously. And all you got out of it is a lumpy head, hating yourself, rejecting yourself, feeling like you're not enough, and you live in depression and in failure and in abject failure, simply because you become a misfit. You want to fit, but you don't know where you belong. Sometimes you got to be honest with yourself and take an assessment of yourself and look at who you truly are, not what you want to be. Because a lot of times we aspire to what we see success is in others. We want that for ourselves. You may have that, but it could be in your own arena, in your own world. But you could have an arena all your own, uniquely yours. You could have that for yourself. But so many folks are failing because they feel like they don't fit. And then when you do fit, you approach it differently. Like, for example, I remember years and years ago, Muhammad Ali came around. He didn't fight like everyone else. Everyone else, they powered their way in the fighting game. You had to have a strong hook, go to the body, had power punches, and Ali didn't have that. All he had was quickness and elusiveness. And he used that and became someone that you could not compare. He created a class all by himself in just using simple quickness and elusiveness and finesse. Who's ever heard of that? Up until then, no one had. But if he was busy trying to fit in someone else's category, say the Brown Bomber Joe Louis, or even Sonny Liston of his day, he never would have found who he was. He didn't have the strength, the knockout power of some of the people of his day, but he had the quickness, he had the finesse, he had the strategy. And I like to say it this way. Say there are two people, and they've been assigned to cut down the same size of tree. And one guy is 6'4", the other one is 4'6". And the 6'4" guy had brute strength. The one who's 4'6" does it. The 4'6" had wisdom and strategy, and that was his gift. He was smart. So what he does is, to compete with the guy 6'4", he goes out and sharpens his axe so that he could cut a strand of hair with it. And so now when he lifts that axe against the tree, he can cut to the same depth of the 6'4" guy with the power, using a little intelligence, using a little wisdom. You work the gifts. He got the same results using a little wisdom. He didn't have the brute strength. He didn't have the power. But he had the wisdom. He had the intelligence. And you use the gifts. He used the strategy. And he was able to succeed and reach the same goals that the person 6'4" could. You see, there's always a way. It'll be dependent upon the gift mixture that the Lord has ascribed to you. So if you're struggling with what you don't have, it's a clear sign that you haven't found who you are, or you have not made produce what you do have. You've not learned to appreciate what you do have and made that produce for you. And so you'll be struggling in the mully grubs with low self-esteem and never succeeding, your life never coming into focus, and for all the wrong reasons. God gave you the tools. God gave you the gifts. God gave you the ability, but your view was so narrow. You didn't see what God gave you. And more than that, you didn't have faith that God loved you enough to provide for you what you needed to provide for yourself and to come into your own focus and to be yourself. And on the day of judgment, when you stand before God, you're going to see all that He had planned for you and that you forfeited because of your lack of faith in God. Let me tell you something, child of God. God loves you, and He gave you what you needed to be enough. He's given you enough. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, spirit, soul, and body. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by your gift mixture, by your temperament, and by your talent. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Have some faith. Have some faith in God. Take your eyes off of yourself and know that God made you to be more than enough. Stop looking at your glass as half empty and have a little faith in God that He loved you, that He didn't make no mess, that He didn't make something second class. He didn't make you afflicted. And even those of you that feel afflicted, or physically, or emotionally, or mentally afflicted, don't you know God's giving you a grace, even still, to make up the difference? If you have the little faith in Him, you'll be surprised. I know a lot of people that don't have a lot of intelligence, but have a lot of wisdom. Come on now. And if they try to compete with the intellectual, they're going to lose all the wisdom that they've been given. And how many know that the most successful people in the world are not generally the most intelligent? It's those who are the most creative, those who are the most patient, and those who have the better strategies. It's not always measured by intelligence. Don't you know that God has made you enough? If you deem that God loves you and that He's faithful, and begin to see yourself through the eyes of faith in God, If you begin to look at yourself there, and you begin to make up your mind of that by faith, as we talked about in the beginning of the broadcast, you begin to make up your mind by faith that God made you enough. You may not see it at this point, but how many know the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight? You may not be able to look at it because you're so focused in the wrong direction. But if you'll take a moment and say, okay, God, I know that you love me, and I know that you bless me. I'm just going to make up my mind and believe it so. You will allow him to open up your mind to a whole arena that you didn't even know existed right on the inside of you. He'll begin to open up your perception, and you'll see what was always so. That was always hidden from you because you didn't have faith in him. But God wants you to know that he loves you and that he gave you everything you could need. Unless you measure yourself by another standard. No, child of God, you fit in the class all by yourself. You, in fact, were called to create a new class. And the greater the weakness, the greater the grace. And God wants you to trust him for that. And to know that it's true. And to begin to stop being angry at yourself and at him at the closed doors in your life. And know that if you'll follow those closed doors, they'll lead you to the open ones. If you submit to those and don't hang out and obsess and depress over that closed door, God will lead you to the open ones in your life. And there are a lot of them. There are a lot of open doors in your life, but not in the arena on the direction that you've been looking in. But just because door A is closed doesn't mean that door B ain't. Don't assume that. You can have all that God would have to offer you. You could have a great self-esteem, but you're going to have to respect what God hasn't given you and not obsess over it, but respect it and watch God show you where you fit. And you'll see that once you fit there, you'll feel better about you. You won't feel like a misfit, but you'll see where you fit. And your sense of self-esteem will reflect that. And the things that this life has to offer you, all the things that God has planned for you, will fit there. And don't make the mistake of being a man out of season. You fit one place one day, and then you fit another place another day. Let's go back to Ali. When he was young, he could dance like a butterfly and sting like a bee. But when he became old, he had to use strategies like rope-a-dope. Okay? He still fit. He just fit differently. He learned to respect the seasons in his life. And that is so imperative. That's more than important. That is imperative. It's to learn to respect the seasons in your life. Just because you fit someplace at one juncture in your life, you may not fit there at another one. God's got a plan for you. Respect the closed doors that you might find the open ones. And your sense of self-worth and your sense of self-esteem will reflect it. Our time has gotten past us, okay? But I want to remind everyone, please like us on our Facebook page at Help Relationships 102. Until the next time, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is Pastor Lewis Green wishing you a great afternoon and God bless.